response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Hope everyone had a great 4th of July. Welcome on in to another week of the Zach Gelb Show right here across all our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and you could also listen to us on the iHeartRadio app as well. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Ari Temkin's going to join us coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Big 12 media days are going to be in session starting tomorrow. So we will preview the Big 12 for this upcoming football season, as football is almost right around the corner and we're getting set for that. You got to get through July. You got to get through most of August, and then right at the end of August as you go into Labor Day weekend. You could also factor in week zero and all that stuff. But right around then, we do get college football back and available to us, which is always a sight to see. And once college football comes back, you know the NFL is a week behind that as well. So a whole lot to do today. Let's start with the Big 12. And you could look inside the Big 12, and there's a ton of questions entering into this season. Can Arizona State with the Sun Devils, can they repeat without Cam Scataboo? As they had a wonderful run last year, Big 12 champs, and we saw them have a nice showing in the college football playoff. And Cam Scataboo, in that incredible back-and-forth game, he tried to put the team on his back and then some up against Texas. And now that program of Kenny Dillingham, which has turned into a hot commodity, can they repeat it? Can you see them thrive once again? And also, can a player like Sam Levitt take that next step? And Sam joined us on the show a year ago. Then you have Kansas State with Avery Johnson, I think one of the more underappreciated coaches in the country, in Chris Klieman as well. There are thoughts that Kansas State can win this conference this upcoming year. Then you have three teams that are grouped together. And when I look at these three teams, I truly don't know what to get out of these three teams this year. And they could all go on to have very good seasons. They all have the potential to go win the Big 12. But another year for Joe McGuire at Texas Tech, and you have Barron Morton, who returns as the quarterback there. Then you take a glance at Baylor. Dave Aranda had a good season last year, but is this going to be a team that could find some consistency, or are they going to go back to putting Dave Aranda right on the hot seat where he was a year ago? And then I'll tell you, I was out on Matt Campbell at Iowa State a few years ago. Last year with Rocco Beck, Anthony Beck's kid, they were a good team, and they did pleasantly surprise me a year ago. Utah, is this the last hurrah with the coach in waiting named for Kyle Whittingham? And you take a glance around Sonny Dykes. First year he got to a national championship game, and it hasn't been, you know, the Horned Frogs haven't been this power program since then. Kansas, it's always a concern with the health of their quarterback and Jalen Daniels, even though you take a look at their head coach, Lance Leipold. He is a very good coach. BYU will not have Jake Retzlaff. So you go through this entire conference, you know, Rich Rod making a return. Does Mike Gundy have anything left in the tank at Oklahoma State? You even look at Scott Frost going back home to UCF. But let's be real. When you're talking about the Big 12, the last 4 minutes, I just stalled. And the reason why I stalled is, whether you think the team is going to be good or not, it's irrelevant. Still, the biggest talking point when you enter the season for Big 12 football is Coach Prime in Colorado. And the last 2 years, they exceeded what many people thought was possible at Colorado. This was a doormat football program. Coach Prime walked in, he got blasted for saying, "Oh, I'm bringing my Louis, and most of you will not be on this football team come the start of the season." And in the first year, they were the darling of college football in September. They started off 3-0, and everyone was talking about Colorado this, Colorado that. Colorado, 2 years ago, in their 3-0 start, was the epicenter. They were the epicenter after beating, I believe it was TCU, Nebraska, and then Colorado State. They were the epicenter of the college football world. ESPN was there. FS1 was there. All the shows were talking Coach Prime, Coach Prime, Coach Prime, Coach Prime. And when you start the year 3-0, you know, I remember going into that season and I was like, if they could get bowl eligibility, that'd be a heck of a job by Coach Prime. But when you start the year 3-0, the expectations increased. They increased in a big way. I thought that was a 4-5 win team in year one, if I'm being honest. And then after starting 3-0, they won one game down the stretch. They had a terrible second half up against Stanford, if you remember 2 years ago. So you ended up winning in year one, 4 games. If I would have told you that before the start of the season, you probably would have said, yeah, that's about right. But with how September did go, and then the rest of the season did go, year one of Coach Prime, it was obviously an improvement from the year before, but it left a taste of uncertainty in your mouth. And last year, the team, with the Heisman Trophy winner Travis Hunter, with Shedeur Sanders as well at quarterback, they improved up front in the trenches. It wasn't magical, let's be real. But as the season did go on, you saw a roster that was significantly improved and significantly developed with also the added pieces from the transfer portal from the previous year. And there was a point late in the college football season last year where we were legitimately talking about Colorado winning the Big 12 and Colorado going to the college football playoff. But now when you take a glance at Colorado, we go back to where we were, not in year one, because the floor has been significantly raised, right? People now know Coach Prime is a good football coach. But the question is he very good? Is he great? And that question is still uncertain. Now, I don't want to be rude here, but let's remember Coach Prime is going through some sort of a health issue right now. It is ambiguous. I read an article earlier today that he is expected to be at Big 12 Media Days that do get underway tomorrow. But assuming that all is okay, and we obviously hope for that to be the case, with Coach Prime and his health, I'll ask you this question. What is a successful season this year for Colorado? Because in year one, it was, I don't know. In year two, it was, you got to go to a bowl game and you got to probably have 7 or 8 wins. Now you get into year three and you're back in the point of, I don't know what to expect. Because the identity of that program the last 2 years was with 3 people. Coach Prime, Travis Hunter, and Shedeur Sanders. Travis Hunter's now in Duval with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Shedeur Sanders somehow became a 5th-round pick, and now he's with the Cleveland Browns. But the man who remains in Boulder, Colorado, is Coach Prime. And I do have to imagine there is some motivation for Coach Prime, because a lot of people are going to think this is going to be a negative season for Colorado. Now, I'm not going to sit here, and I'm not going to tell you that Colorado is going to be this booming football program this year. You know, do I think on paper Arizona State is better? Yes. Do I think on paper Kansas State is better? Yes, just to name a few. And I know the Big 12 has kind of done away with these preseason media polls, which I just think is dopey that they did go away with this. But I was reading on 247sports.com, they still gave their rankings the other day, and they ranked Colorado 10th in the conference. So I look at Colorado entering this season. This is their schedule. Remember, no more Shedeur, no more Travis Hunter, and we have some uncertainty at the quarterback position because they're bringing 2 quarterbacks to media days tomorrow. I believe they're on the field in Jerry's World in Dallas. You got Caden Salter, who's coming over from Liberty, and then the big transfer or the big recruit that they signed in Juju Lewis and Julian Lewis. So I would think, even if it's not at the start, and we'll ask this already, Temkin at the top of the hour, I would think at some point this year, this does become Julian Lewis's team. That would just be my guess. Now, the big offensive lineman, Jordan Seaton, he is back. And this is a football team that they've lost a lot from where they were a year ago. And obviously, their 2 big pieces, Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, 2 of the more recognizable players in all of college football the last 2 years, are now off in the pros. But this is what the Colorado football schedule looks like. Georgia Tech, Delaware, at Houston, Wyoming, BYU, TCU. You look from August 29th to October 4th. This is not Murderers Row on the schedule, folks. Now, are they a lock to beat Georgia Tech with Haynes King? No. Are they a lock to beat BYU with the fine job that Kalani Sitake has done with that program? No, but BYU right now, they don't have Jake Retzlaff. You know, are they a lock to beat TCU? No. But there's not a game in the first 6 weeks of the schedule that you sit there and you say they can't win. So I really do believe, because I'll get into where the schedule does take a turn in a second, the first 6 weeks of the season are enormous for Colorado. From August 29th, when they kick off on that Friday night up against Georgia Tech, to October 4th, now I'm thinking they got to go 4-2. If they go 4-2, you got a chance not to do something special, but you have a good chance when the schedule toughens up to have a really respectable season. And I say the schedule toughens up because after that, they have Iowa State, they're at Utah, they have Arizona, at West Virginia, and then they end the season. This is where it gets really tough, with Arizona State and Kansas State. That's a tough end to the schedule with Arizona State and Kansas State, who arguably could be the two best teams in this conference. So I sit there and I say to myself, a roster that's gone through a lot of change. You don't have Travis Hunter anymore. You don't have Shedeur Sanders anymore. We don't know exactly when Julian Lewis is going to be the full-time starting quarterback at Colorado. And all this pressure is just mounting on the shoulders of Coach Prime. And you could argue, actually, that this is his most important year at Colorado. Year one, expectations were low. People thought it was a gimmick. I didn't. But people thought this was a gimmick and it was never going to work, blah, blah, blah. And he ended up winning four games. Year two, they took a big step. And yes, their chances of going to the college football playoff really went out the window. I think it was Thanksgiving weekend or the week before Thanksgiving weekend when they lost to Kansas. That was a bad one. But last year, they were a 9-3 football team. If I would have told you 3 years ago, before Coach Prime even got to Colorado, that this program in 3 years would be a 9-win football team, you would say, what, in all three seasons combined? Yeah, if that. So getting 9 wins at Colorado was really special last year. So I looked at the over-under for Colorado. And I think the over-under, when you just factor in the schedule that I just read you, and it kind of shows you the Big 12 is at. The Big 12 is a good conference. Obviously, it's not the SEC. Obviously, it's not the Big Ten. And you're going to have a game of tug-of-war for the foreseeable future. Like, we have two games of tug-of-war going on in college football right now. One is for the best conference in college football. That's the SEC and the Big Ten. There's one rope for the SEC and the Big Ten, right? Half it's on the SEC, half it's on the Big Ten. The last few years, they've been going back and forth. The Big Ten, because they have the last two national champions in Michigan and in Ohio State, they've won the game of tug-of-war. And then after that, right, the loser goes to second. Then there's a far drop-off. And then there's another rope. And for that game of tug-of-war, it's who's the third and fourth best conference in college football. And that matchup's between the Big 12 and also the ACC. Because let's be real, the Pac-12 is basically out of the picture at this point. And the Big 12, I wouldn't say they're a great conference, but I respect how in a landscape of college football that was drastically shifting away, and you could have saw the death of the Big 12, just like how you basically saw the death of the Pac-12, the Big 12 wasn't reactive. They were proactive. And it saved their conference. And do you look at the Big 12 and do you sit there and you say, oh, we could have a national champion? No. But you look at the Big 12 from top to bottom and you go, you know, this is a solid conference. This is a good conference where there's like 8 or 9 teams that you could make the case legitimately that could go win the conference. So when I look at the Colorado schedule, it's a giant unknown. Am I expecting Colorado to compete for the Big 12 championship this year? No, I don't. Am I expecting Colorado to win 9 games like they did a year ago? No, I don't. But I look at the schedule and I see Georgia Tech, Delaware, Houston, Wyoming, BYU, TCU, Iowa State, Utah, Arizona, West Virginia, Arizona State, and Kansas State. And I say there are really 2 games that you feel like, okay, Colorado's probably not going to win. And that's Arizona State and Kansas State. Both those games, though, come at the end of the season. So if this Colorado team is better than what we expect, maybe those games feel different. And are there some challenging games? Like, yeah, sure. Outside of Arizona State and Kansas State, Iowa State's a challenging team. Utah with Kyle Whittingham's a challenging team. You know, you look at Georgia Tech, Haynes King. You know, he's a good quarterback. He almost beat Georgia last year. So there are some other challenging games. But this is a schedule that is basically fitting to where Colorado is right now. A lot of question marks. So I looked at the over-under, and I thought the over-under was very fair. It was 6.5. And if you put a gun to my head and said, Zach, pick the over-under here, I'm going to trust Coach Prime here. I'm going to trust Coach Prime and say that he could get Colorado to 7 wins this year. And if Colorado is bowl eligible, so that means they get at least 6 wins, and they clear their over-under, and they're at 7 or 8 wins, considering all that they lost and all the uncertainty right now, and how tough it's to build in college football, I would say that's a very successful season. So immediately, when I just say, okay, what success this year for college football? Say it in one sentence. 7 wins for the Colorado Buffaloes. That, to me, is a successful season this year for that program. And we'll see if Coach Prime's going to be capable of it. And I'm a believer in Coach Prime. I am. We're going to see how much longer he does this. I do think there is motivation for him to have success at Colorado without Travis Hunter, without Shedeur Sanders. And we all know who Coach Prime is. And we all know the success that he had as a player and the success that he's had at this point as a coach. Now it's a little bit different, though. Now the fun really starts at Colorado, and we'll find out if Coach Prime is just a good coach, or is he a very good coach, or is he a great coach? And that's what we'll find out in the next few years, however long he does do this. But they're still the talking point of this conference for me. Doesn't mean they're the best team in the conference. Like Arizona State, Kansas State, I think are better teams. But Colorado still has the intrigue. They still garner the majority of the attention in this conference because of one man and one man only, and that's Coach Prime. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. What are your expectations for Colorado this season, and what would you view success for this Colorado football team? My answer is 7 wins for the Buffaloes. We'll take a timeout. Patrick Mahomes is talking about how people are doubting the Kansas City Chiefs. Should you doubt the Chiefs? We'll get into that when we return.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
In 5 minutes. So you look at this run by Kansas City. In 2018, they lost in the conference championship game to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. That was Mahomes' first true season as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Then after that, they won the Super Bowl. And they defeated the 49ers. It came back from down 10 with 7.5 to play. Then they lost the Super Bowl to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then they lost the conference championship game to Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, where Mahomes and company were dreadful in the second half. And then they won back-to-back Super Bowls, defeating the Eagles and the 49ers. And then this past year, they lost the Super Bowl. So think about that. A bad season for the Kansas City Chiefs is losing in the conference championship game. That's a bad season. A disappointing season is losing in the Super Bowl. And then obviously a great season is winning a Super Bowl. And I know you can't win the Super Bowl every year. Heck, until the Kansas City Chiefs went back-to-back in the 2022-2023 season, last time we saw a team win back-to-back was the Patriots when they won Super Bowls 38 and Super Bowl 39. Pats defeated Jake Delhomme and the Carolina Panthers in 38, and then defeated Brian Dawkins and Donovan McNabb and Andy Reid with the Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowl 39. Look how long of a layoff that was. And actually, in the Patriots dynasty, they went 10 years without winning a Super Bowl at one point. So you look at Kansas City, and anytime they lose in the Super Bowl, or they lose in the playoffs, you have some person, right, that goes out there on FS1 or ESPN, someone that's just basically trying to get a bunch of clicks. And they play the Rob Parker playbook, folks. That's what they do. Because Rob Parker did this with Tom Brady. You know, Nick Wright, even did this with Tom Brady. Max Kellerman did this with Tom Brady. And anytime there's a moment where they don't win, and they don't win at all, they then say, okay, this is the start of the demise of, at the time, the Patriots. Now it's insert the Kansas City Chiefs. Do I think the majority of human beings doubt Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs? No. But this is what happens when you have a great competitor. This is what happens when you have a champion on a dynastic run. They find a few people that doubt them, a few people with large platforms, and then they make that into something bigger. Because I think one of the most difficult things to do, it's not to win the first championship. Don't get me wrong. You win one championship, you're a legend. You win one championship, that's extremely tough. Detroit Lions fans will love a Super Bowl. Buffalo Bills fans would love a Super Bowl, right? Cleveland Browns fans would love to win a Super Bowl. But when you win one, it's what's the mentality afterwards? Do you get complacent? Do you exhale and go, oh, we finally made it to the top of the mountain? Or do you say, yeah, we're going to celebrate this for 24, 48 hours, maybe even a month, right? It's the offseason. And then it's, we're going to get back to work. Then it's, I want to win another one. And you look at Tom Brady. Brady always said this. And I would love to know what the answer is today. You know, if we had Tom on the show, I think that would be something that I would ask him. And maybe he's been asked it since retirement. You always talk about which one's your favorite Super Bowl, and you would always say the next one. Well, now you're retired. You have seven of them. You had six in New England and one in Tampa Bay. Which one was your favorite? And I'd be curious to hear what his answer was. I would have to imagine it's 28-3 because of the suspension, coming on back, the epic comeback up against Atlanta, right? That was like a big bleep you to Roger Goodell, too. I would imagine it's that one. That one's probably the most gratifying, but I don't know. And I was watching, I guess, excerpts of this interview with Patrick Mahomes and Kay Adams, and Patrick Mahomes started to talk about two things. One, getting down, and the other thing that stood out to me was also how his relationship with Tom Brady is growing. And I guess they've talked a lot this offseason. So let me just play you this, because you look at Kansas City, and let me remind you, this is the run. Since 2018, since Mahomes took over, replacing Alex Smith as the full-time starting quarterback, lost in the conference championship game to Brady, won a Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl to Brady, lost the conference championship game to Joe Burrow, beat the Eagles in a Super Bowl, beat the 49ers in a Super Bowl, lost to the Eagles with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni in the Super Bowl. Think about that. It's not as if they had some Cinderella team just walk on into the Super Bowl and it's like, what the heck is this name? What the heck is this team doing in the Super Bowl? Right? And that happens from time to time. Teams get hot. And you see teams that you would have never thought when the playoffs started get into the Super Bowl and then winning the Super Bowl. That wasn't the Eagles this past year. You know, I know that maybe the Bengals were ahead of plan, but we've seen how that's aged with Joe Burrow. And obviously, the two times he's lost in the postseason in the conference championship game and the Super Bowl, the one that we didn't mention, was to the greatest quarterback of all time. But when the standard and the bar is set so high at such a young age, just like it was for Brady, and Mahomes had more regular season success early on in his career in terms of statistical performances than Brady did. But Brady won three Super Bowls in his first 4 years, but when you're sitting there and you've been a starting quarterback for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, and you've already won three Super Bowls, and the least you've been in a season and traveled in a season is a conference championship game? Think about that. That bar has already been set so high of it's now Super Bowl or bust. And it's not just getting to the Super Bowl. It's winning the Super Bowl. But whenever you lose, there will be someone that will start to question the demise. And they will start to say, hey, is this the beginning of the end of the Kansas City Chiefs run? And this is what I'll say. As long as 15 is under center, he could lose Andy Reid, right? He could lose Tyreek Hill. We've seen him lose Tyreek Hill. You know, they lost Tyreek Hill, and they won the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl. Think about that, right? Tyreek Hill got to Miami in 2022. One Super Bowl, lost Super Bowl. That's without the greatness of Tyreek Hill. Who misses who more, you think, in that relationship? You think Patrick Mahomes misses Tyreek Hill more or Tyreek Hill misses Patrick Mahomes more? It's Tyreek Hill missing Patrick Mahomes more. So even though Andy Reid's one of the greatest coaches ever, even though Travis Kelce is an all-time great tight end, even though eventually Chris Jones' time will come and go in the NFL, Steve Spagnuolo is one of the greatest defensive coordinators as well in the history of the NFL. There will be pieces that you lose. Joe Tooney, you lost him. Right? There are going to be guys that you're going to lose. As long as you have 15 upright, as long as you have 15 healthy, I don't care if 15 is not having a prodigious passing season, it doesn't matter. As long as he's on the field, in the dance, he will always have a chance. And you always have your window wide open. And for anyone that's going to sit there and tell me, oh, Kansas City's run, it's coming to an end soon. Well, who's taking down the Chiefs? Who's taking down the Chiefs in the AFC? You say the Bills? All right. Buffalo's had a really good run. Anytime, though, they get up against the Kansas City Chiefs, they don't win the game. You tell me it's Baltimore? Yeah, Baltimore could beat the Chiefs in the regular season, but they don't do it in the postseason. Oh, well, how about the Bengals? They did it once. Right? They beat they had a three-game win streak up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, they beat them in the conference championship game, and the following year they lost the conference championship game to them. And Joe Burrow, as great as he is with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, that defense looked like the Swiss cheese that was on my hamburger during my 4th of July barbecue, if I'm being honest. Because that defense stinks. Last year, that team had their quarterback lead the league in passing yards, lead the league in passing touchdowns. They had a wide receiver go for the triple crown, and they had the sack leader in the NFL, and they didn't make the playoffs. So we could sit here, oh, maybe the Texans are on the rise with C.J. Stroud and Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. We could talk about this. We're blue in the face. Until someone beats them when it counts, and then goes on and wins a Super Bowl, and I'm talking about just in the AFC, and then they don't get back again the year after that, then come talk to me in terms of asking, oh, when is the demise of the Kansas City Chiefs happening? Because once again, since 2018, lost in the conference championship game, won the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, lost the conference championship game, then went back-to-back Super Bowl victories, and then just lost the Super Bowl. Think about that. That's incredible. So you got to really sit here and tell me, oh, Travis Kelce may be on his way out. Say if Travis Kelce plays two more years. You know, if it's one, that's trickier. But if he plays two more years, and I ask you, do you think the Chiefs get another Super Bowl in the next 2 years? What's your answer? I wouldn't feel comfortable if I had to make a large wager on that and I had to say no. I would think that they're going to win another Super Bowl in the next 2 years, especially when they got 15. So here is Patrick Mahomes when he was talking to Kay Adams with some people doubting the Chiefs this offseason. Is he on a revenge tour for this upcoming year?
You know, I'm honestly just ready to play football again. Whenever you lose, you kind of have this taste in your mouth that you want to go out there and revenge that or whatever you want to say. But at the same time, I feel like I've had to sit back and just listen to people talk. And I'm like, let's just play football and just handle it all out there. And I don't really want to talk about it. I just want to go out and show who we are as the Kansas City Chiefs.
And obviously, a lot of this is in the news. And that's going to be a boring quote from Patrick Mahomes, clearly, because that's the way that you're supposed to handle it. But a lot of this stems from, I guess, Emmanuel Acho, right before we went on vacation before July 4th, started to say that this is the beginning of the drought for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, and they have entered their Super Bowl drought. Oh, that's tough for me to say when they just won back-to-back Super Bowls, and then they got to a third straight Super Bowl, and they lost. So do I think that if you're going to say a drought, you know, is it 10 years? Is it 5 years? Like, how long do you think that drought's actually going to be? Because in the next 3 years, I would venture to say, I'm just going to go on a limb here, Emmanuel Acho. In the next 3 years, I'm just going to take a little guess here. Even if Andy Reid retires, even if Spags hangs it up, even if Travis Kelce walks away, I'm going to say 15 gets another Super Bowl at least one time in the next 3 years. That's just what I'm going to say. Little old me here just sitting here on my national radio show on the Infinity Sports Network. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We got to get to a news brief when we come on back. In the news brief, you will hear from Travis Kelce. You will hear from Patrick Mahomes again. You will hear from AJ McCarron. You will hear from Chris Paul. You will hear from Kendrick Perkins. You will hear from Angel Reese. And you will also hear from Pat Boyle. Which name doesn't belong and why? I'll tell you on the other side, because the last audio clip will play for you, and the name that didn't belong in that is Pat Boyle. No disrespect to Pat. Pat does a great job in the Infinity Sports Network Monday through Friday on the overnight shift from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific. Does a very highly entertaining show. But Pat did a sports minute that I heard when I was on vacation. And I couldn't believe the sports minute that I heard. Now, I author two sports minutes a day. They're not easy to do. You know, I don't like writing out a whole script and doing all that. Like, I just like to talk, and I don't like to follow a script. I don't like to read in terms of, like, written content and then broadcast it. But that's what you got to do in the sports minutes, because you only get, even like call it a minute, you get about 25 to 30 seconds. And these are the dog days of summer. This is where you got to earn your money on those sports minutes in these radio shows, because let's be real. There's not a lot of national topics right now. Now, we always find a way to make garbage into gold. That's what I've been doing my entire life. But Pat Boyle had a very interesting approach on a sports minute. We'll play for you on the other side. Update time.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
First, here is Zach.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
And it's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here is Patrick Mahomes with Kay Adams on Up and Adams, talking about one of his AFC West foes in Max Crosby.
There's so much healthy respect, but when we get on that football field, it's going to be trash talk. It's going to be going out there, and he's going to be trying to get to me. I'm going to be trying to make big plays happen. Obviously, he's on the other team, so I want to go against him and beat him. That's the guys you want on your team, the guys that are going to leave it all out there no matter what the score is, and be the best they can possibly be every snap.
You don't want to say he's the best pass rusher in the business right now?
No, he's the best. I mean, I think he sacked me the most out of anyone I've ever played against.
Oh,
so,
really?
I mean, to me, he's the best pass rusher that I've played against, and so no offense to any other pass rusher, just putting it out there. But he is the best one that I've went up against, because he goes out there and he gives you the effort, he has the moves, and he has the skill. And I think that's hard to have all three of those and do that a year in and year out.
Yeah, I would say that the best pass rushers in the NFL, I think one and two, it's Myles Garrett and TJ Watt. Then after that, the third spot is open. I think Max Crosby's obviously in that conversation. Micah Parsons is clearly in that conversation. Trey Hendrickson, after the last 2 years that he's had, is in that conversation as well. And there's a few youngsters in the NFL that are on the rise and that are in that conversation too. But if you want to tell me Max Crosby is the third best pass rusher in the NFL, I think that's fair. I still have to put Myles Garrett and TJ Watt in front of him. But could there be a little bulletin board material here for some of these pass rushers? Let's see. Do they play this year the Kansas City Chiefs? Do they play this year the Cleveland Browns? They do not. Do they play the Pittsburgh Steelers this year? They do not. Now, they play Aiden Hutchinson with the Lions, but he's coming off an injury. You take a glance, they get Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter on December 7th. So, really not it's a quote that's juicy, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it was said with any malicious intent. For example, if you're going to sit there and say Max Crosby's the best pass rusher in the NFL, I would say he's in the ballpark, he's in the conversation. I would just prefer Myles Garrett and TJ Watt before Max Crosby. So I don't think it's, there will be a way for people to make that crazier than what was actually said by Mahomes. I think it's just a respect thing, especially when you go up against the guy twice a year. Here is Travis Kelce. He was on Bussin' with the Boys, and this is what he had to say in regards to how teams may try to stop Travis Hunter if he does play both ways.
What's the expectation
world,
of this kid?
All-pro,
both sides?
Both sides? See, that's the thing. I don't know how they're going to divvy it out. I don't know if because teams are going to be going after him.
Right.
And you they're going to try and make his day. Yeah, they're going to try and make his day miserable. If he plays corner, they're going to run deep balls at him all day. They're going to run the wide receivers just take off on him all day just to try and get his like him tired.
Yeah.
I'm like, why wouldn't you just attack him that way?
So it's kind of funny to me, and I realized this when we were interviewing together Kayvon Thibodeau and also Bobby Okereke at the Super Bowl. They had two different opinions. Those are two defensive players, two good, you know, solid defensive players in the NFL. And one was saying, oh, Travis Hunter could play both ways. The other was saying, no chance whatsoever. So he did it at an incredibly high level at college, right? Won a Heisman Trophy for playing both ways. Played an incredible amount of snaps. I think that's the most divisive topic entering the NFL this season, is how will Travis Hunter play? And can he succeed on having great success on both sides of the ball at a high frequency snap count on both sides of the ball? And we're going to have to wait and see. But I'm not someone that automatically dismisses and says, oh, wait, no, he can't do it. I'm not. I actually hope he can do it, because it would make the story of Travis Hunter just even that much better. So Thomas Castellanos, basically, he was talking to Pete Nakos on three. And he was like, Alabama without Nick Saban, you know, they don't have that same feel as they once did. And he doesn't see how when they play to open up the season, Thomas Castellanos is now with Florida State, how anyone in Alabama is going to stop him. We had on Lenore Sellers of South Carolina, who played Alabama last year and plays him again this year. And he was like, hey, even with Kalen DeBoer, who's a very good football coach, was in a national championship game with Washington, Alabama's still Alabama. They're still a heck of a team. Let's go to former Crimson Tide quarterback A.J. McCarron. He's on the Dynasty podcast, and he responded to Thomas Castellanos' claim.
Where do you even start? You're going to a team that was 17th out of 17 teams in the ACC. You're leaving a team and lost a starting job where you finished 9th in the ACC. Listen, I'm all for confidence, but this is stupidity. If you're a guy like Thomas, keep your mouth shut, go to work, and then let your play do the talking. But now you've done ran your mouth, and now you better back it up in the game, or you are going to hear about it all year, and you might lose your job again.
That's the thing, and I said at the time, dude, you got benched at BC. All right, and you're going after Alabama. Maybe Alabama, you look at them and they have a dent in the armor, but still, there's a lot of programs that would rather be Alabama than the situation that you're in right now. Let's go to Chris Paul. He was at the American Black Film Festival with Jermyl Hill, and he talked about his NBA future.
How much longer do you intend to play?
At the most, a year. You know, I just finished my 20th season, which is a blessing in itself.
So here's the thing, Samter. That's a retirement tour being set up for Chris Paul. Now, Chris Paul is a 12-time All-Star. He'll easily be a Hall of Famer. He's on the NBA 75 anniversary team. Like, he's had a great career. Do I need a Chris Paul retirement tour? I don't, if I'm just being honest with you.
I mean, he is, I would say, in the conversation for top three point guards of all time. Do you not have
top
to get...
Top five?
I mean, you got
in
Magic
the conversation.
One. Yeah.
You're like, we don't need to do the ranking, but like when I look at like Chris Paul, phenomenal basketball player. But is he LeBron? No. Is he Nikola Jokic? No. Is he Giannis Antetokounmpo? No. And those are guys that just got started. Like, where do we to me, the retirement tour is reserved for the select few. Like Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, when they wanted to do so with the Yankees, fine by me. Chris Paul's a great player. I'm not taking anything away from Chris Paul, but a retirement tour? Because I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen. When you announce basically your retirement a year in advance, I'm assuming that he's going to get paraded around from NBA city to NBA city. If I'm in the crowd, and let's say I'm at a Knicks game this year, wherever Chris Paul ends up playing. You know, I know he's with San Antonio right now, but who knows if he's going to be back there. I don't think he will be. But if I'm sitting there and they're like, all right, you know, Chris Paul's retiring, and they bring him out of like a bouquet of flowers and some gifts. Am I going to have to sit there and feel all like fuzzy? No, I just don't care. That's just my honest opinion on it.
It feels like a David Ortiz retirement tour.
David Ortiz, though.
Great players, beloved, one, well-known.
Three championships?
Yeah,
broke a curse?
I mean, David Ortiz.
Maybe the greatest DH ever in the game? Like, don't get me wrong. David Ortiz more deserving that retirement tour than Chris Paul.
See, that's interesting. I'll disagree on that.
Okay. How many championships does Chris Paul have?
Sure. Ortiz is great. But, like, if you look at the history of the NBA and the history of baseball, Chris Paul is higher up on the all-time list in the NBA than Ortiz is in baseball.
Well, you could make the case David Ortiz is the greatest DH of all time, right?
Sure.
But I would say he is. Chris Paul, no one says he's the greatest point guard of all time.
Yeah, but he's in the top three. And I don't think Ortiz is the greatest DH, Edgar Martinez.
I think Ortiz's individual impact a little bit more important than Edgar Martinez. But Martinez is sensational. All righty. Let me just keep it moving here. And I want to make sure we get to this. So Novak Djokovic, when he opened up Wimbledon, he had an opponent. And his opponent has a side gig. And his opponent's side gig, who's a tennis player, is his side gig is being on OnlyFans. So this was the Pat Boyle Sports Minute on the tennis player going up against Novak Djokovic, who has an OnlyFans. Listen up.
This is Pat Boyle with an Odyssey Sports Minute. For the non-hardcore tennis fans that are looking for a reason to get into Wimbledon, how about this? Novak Djokovic's opponent yesterday, Alexander Muller, he's got an OnlyFans, and he calls himself the sexiest tennis player. Now, there's no erotic content. He basically just takes folks behind the scenes of what life looks like on the tennis tour. And it made me think, maybe I should start an OnlyFans. Take folks behind the scenes of what the sports radio industry looks like. And in my bio, I'll put the sexiest sports talk radio host. I'm Pat Boyle.
Should have said, and I'm trying too hard. That's what he should have said. Jeez, that is some sports minute, let me tell you. Finally, let's go to Kendrick Perkins, the Perk Unplugged podcast. He has some advice for Carl Anthony Towns.
That's the only thing that y'all lacking is the ability to defend at a high level. And Carl Anthony Towns, if I was you, I'd go lose me about 15 pounds. Boy, 15 pounds, you get 15 pounds off of you, bro, and you stay consistent. It's going to be smoke. Well, you're going to be ready.
So here's the thing. Kendrick Perkins, I like Perk. He used to come on the show a bunch. He's a big fella, though. Like, there was that one photo of him at the NBA Finals, the Western Conference Finals, standing next to Stephen A. Smith, and that was not a good look for Kendrick Perkins. So his advice may be proper, but coming from Perk, I just don't think that's the right source. And I say that as a larger fellow myself. Let me put my hand up, too, on that one. All righty, we'll take a break. We'll go to Big 12 Media Days that are getting started tomorrow. We'll get a preview of the Big 12 with Ari Temkin, who does a great job for Big 12 Radio when the Zach Gelb Show continues after these short messages.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.